But just before stepping into the coach, Elizabeth did something that surprised everyone. Johan offered to help her get into her seat by reaching out his hand, but she did not take it, and instead reached for something else inside the coach. Johan was a little puzzled at first, but he could see what she was after, and he gave her a smile of approval. With her left hand still in the coach, she motioned to Peter with her right, and in a whisper she said to him,
"I have noticed that you are a very bright young man, and you have the same curiosity of my cats back home."
Her manners were so pleasant, and she talked directly to Peter, making him feel very comfortable. He followed her directions and joined Johan and her at the coach. The horses stirred a little as he approached them because he had jumped over a stump to get there. He took one more half stumble and then he joined them. Elizabeth held out her hand.
"Here, let me help you. I have something for you."
She'd been watching Peter's reaction when he saw a glass cup for the first time. His amazement really got her attention, and now she wanted his. She said,
"Nothing is sweeter than love. Nothing higher, nothing stronger, nothing larger, nothing more joyful, nothing fuller, and nothing better in heaven or on earth."
Elizabeth put her hand on Peter's shoulder as she gave him something wrapped in a cloth. She leaned over and whispered this time in Peter's ear,
"Here, take this with you to remember the love we all share together today."
Peter eagerly opened the cloth, and she continued, saying,
"I watched you, Peter, admire this cup, and it gave my heart great joy. And now I receive even greater joy by giving it to you."
Opening the cloth, he saw it was the cup, the very same cup they had shared during the communion meal together. She smiled and said,
"The nourishment of the body is food, while the nourishment of the soul is feeding others."
Peter could hardly speak, but he did.
"Thanks be to you. And pray tell me, how, you being a maiden, can talk so smart like these men?"
Her answer was this:
"If it were customary to send maidens to school and teach them the same subjects as are taught the boys, they would learn just as fully and would understand the subtleties of all the arts and sciences."
Elizabeth then put her arm around Peter and said one more thing. She spoke to him as if no one was there but the two of them. She spoke to him like the mother he never got to know. She spoke to him with love he could feel.
"Keep this cup, Peter. Keep it safe and remember this day and the Lord's Supper. Then when you have your own family, your own children, you can pass it on to them."
She smiled at him, but he was not too sure how to take what she was saying. He was not ready to have a family just yet. But when he did have his own family, Peter remembered that day very well. He celebrated it once each month with a family Lord's Supper. As he broke the bread, he passed the cup and told the story of his first communion meal. He took special care of the cup, and his children looked at it while he spoke. Peter and his wife, Anna Klink, had 6 children together: Johann Heinrich, Maria Elizabeth, Eva Dorothea, Johann George, Juliana, and Johann Ludwig, 1685 to 1746, 7th great-grandfather. Peter gave his 3 sons the same first name of Johann after Martin Luther's son Johann. It was a life-altering experience for Peter the day they met, even though it only lasted a moment in time. He wanted his sons to never forget and pass on the story about Johann, so he named each of them after him: Johann Peter, Johann Samuel, and Johann Ludwig Knaus. Peter told many stories about the family's past and tried to direct his children's future paths. He had picked up the torch of storytelling from his father after he passed on. Knaus had told his son Peter when he was young,
"The tale is but half told when only one person tells it."
He told the tales his father told him around the fire at night. He acted out the parts while playing a small lute. Peter thought to himself that he was not as good at it as his father was, but all the children loved his performances. They said that he was the biggest kid in the family. Peter could remember how things used to be simpler when his father told the stories back then. The struggle of just living did not seem as hard as it was then as it had become now. Even in their own tribe, there was a division of thinking. Some insisted on following the ways of the Roman Catholic Church. Others in the tribe found being released from the church's control over everyday life to be a blessing. The tribe rather quickly dissolved into separate families, all going in different directions.